Now hear a reading from the Gospel.
When they were approaching Jerusalem at Bethphage and Bethany near the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples and said to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, and immediately as you enter it, you will find tied there a colt that has never been ridden. Untie it and bring it. If anyone says to you, 'Why are you doing this?' just say this, 'The Lord needs it, and will send it back here immediately.' They went away and found a colt tied near a door outside in the street. As they were untying it, some of the bystanders said to them, 'What are you doing, untying the colt?' They told them what Jesus had said, and they allowed them to take it. Then they brought the colt to Jesus and threw their cloaks on it, and he sat on it. Many people spread their cloaks on the road, and others spread leafy branches that they had cut in the fields. Then those who went ahead and those who followed were shouting, 'Hosanna! Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming kingdom of our ancestor David. Hosanna in the highest heaven.' Then he entered Jerusalem and went into the temple. And when he had looked around at everything, as it was late, he went out to Bethany with the 12. Word of God, word of life. Thanks be to God.
So when we get to Palm Sunday, before we embark on this Holy Week, I am reminded of the number of people that tell me, that lament about how things seemingly are out of our control. The state of our world, our country, the environment, political or natural. Or they're so tired of the unrelenting barrage of events and words that chip away at our sense of human connectedness and togetherness. We all wonder, who is going to save us? And you probably, like me, have heard, well, we just need another Martin Luther King Jr., or we just need another John F. Kennedy, or another Churchill, or another fill in the blank. And when that happens, the words of Princess Leia often echo in my mind, "Help me, Obi-Wan Kenobi. You are my only hope." The days are dark for the resistance with it. When the princess utters these words, they wonder if the oppression of the empire will ever be overcome. And so they shout out for help from the only possible yet unlikely source available to them, an old Jedi master. He is their very last possible hope. What they don't realize is that their cry for help won't be answered in the ways that they imagine. In fact, they can't possibly imagine what will happen. They can't imagine that they will be on their own sooner rather than later. They can't imagine that they will take what Obi-Wan teaches them and with courage and faith will find the strength to rise up and change the world. In that moment, in the opening scenes of Star Wars, all they can say is, "Help us. You are our only hope." That day in Jerusalem, when Jesus decides to ride into the city, that is what the people are longing for. That is what they're yelling. It isn't the victory shout, Hosanna, of today. In the first century, this is a cry for mercy, for help, for saving. It means, save us. But it's more than that. It's a cry of desperation. It's a cry of frantic people who know that they are in trouble, weary from the oppression of the Roman Empire and the onerous laws imposed by the temple. Hosanna, Jesus. Save us, Jesus. Now, Jesus. What they can't know, what they can't imagine, is that their cries for saving won't be answered in the ways they imagine. They can't possibly know that they will be on their own sooner rather than later. They can't imagine that they will take what Jesus has taught them and with courage and faith will find the strength to rise up and change the world. In that moment, in these opening scenes of what we now call Holy Week, all they can say is, "Save us, Jesus. You are our only hope." Because on the other side of the city, the real oppressor is entering in a similar manner, only this entry is all about displaying power and wealth and might. As Pilate enters the city from the west, from his coastal residence, all his imperial empire majesty is on display. He is reminding all the Jews who have come to Jerusalem to celebrate the Passover that their complete and utter loyalty and obedience to the Roman Empire is demanded. That they may be celebrating the ancient liberation from slavery, and that was fine. But remember, dear Jew friends, who is in charge now? And I've always wondered what Jesus was about doing this ride into the city. It seemed so random to me, especially since in the Gospel of Mark in particular, he goes to the temple, he looks around, and then he leaves. It hardly seems worth it. There's no banquet, there's no decree, none of the usual victory march kind of things. So why? What's the purpose? The purpose is to remind the people of his reason for being, to turn the world upside down and right side up again. Jesus offers a foil to Pilate's pageantry. He offers hope and promise of salvation instead of intimidation and oppression. The people would have recognized in this moment the prophecy of Zechariah in the actions of Jesus. The gospel writers are not shy about pulling on the part of the prophecy that condemns foreign empires and encourages those in exile. They're not shy about using the Zechariah's militaristic language for the actions of God. Zechariah's prophecy eventually promises restoration of Jerusalem, where peace and fertility and security will flow. Because remember, the people who Zechariah is speaking to have been in exile after losing a war to Babylon. Everything they held dear, everything that represented their identity, value, and worth as people had been destroyed. In the prophecy that is spoken, they are assured that they will return with strength to overthrow their enemy and take back their city. God is the divine warrior king taking the throne of Jerusalem from the foreign empires of the day and restoring peace and unity to her people. But before Zechariah tells us about the leader of the resistance riding into Jerusalem on a donkey, we hear the condemnation of the Babylonian Empire who has oppressed the people. So those who heard Zechariah's word and those who saw Jesus were those who longed for that restoration and peace. But they also longed for power and vengeance against their enemies, which is why the gospel writers tie Jesus' riding into Jerusalem to this ancient prophecy. And as if that wouldn't be enough, this moment also evokes the celebratory Feast of Booths, where worshipers process around the temple altar, rejoicing by waving their branches in accordance to God's instructions to Moses after they left Egypt, which goes even farther back in the Jewish people's history than Zechariah. Palm branches recall the Exodus and signal the people's joyful hopes that, like Moses, Jesus will lead a new exodus and deliver them from bondage. And likewise, by spreading their cloaks on the road, the crowd signal that they recognize Jesus as royalty. Save us, Jesus. You are the one who comes in the name of the Lord. You are the one who has opened our eyes. You are the one who has healed and taught and become our hope. So save us from the empire and restore us and our city now. Like the blind man at the side of the road, the crowds, and dare I say, we are crying out to this one who brings light and life and hope to our world. and yet he defies all our logic, all our human hopes. He isn't on a great steed. He doesn't demand a great banquet. There's very little pageantry, hardly any pomp in his parade. And in the days to come, he won't tear down the empire. He makes a mess in the temple, antagonizing and challenging those in authority, but then he dies by being crucified. Save us? By the end of the week, the crowds will say that he couldn't even save himself. So what good is he? On that day, though, the people forgot. They forgot all that they had been taught, all they knew of God. They remembered the stories of victory told by their ancestors, the promises of triumph over their enemies, as Zechariah said, but they forgot what they were taught when they first were. They forgot the grace and love bound up in the commands of God, the commands to love God first and then to love their neighbor. So desperate for relief, they fall into line with those in power, knowingly or unknowingly, and abdicate their own power to love each other, and in that love, change their world. They forget, and so do we. I'm not saying that we shouldn't shout our hosannas. We should. We should shout them loudly. The whole world needs us to. We should cry out to God for help with everything that we are. And then we should be ready to listen to the response that reminds us that we, you and me, are the beloved children of God, sent out into this world with the power of God flowing in our veins. Just like the Rebel Alliance had Obi-Wan's teachings leading them and guiding them, we have Jesus' life and teachings, death and resurrection, to guide and strengthen us. In the midst of our despair, God's Spirit is pleading with us to open ourselves up to the revolutionary power of God's love, to believe and trust beyond our expectations of what saving and help looks like. Debbie Thomas, one of my favorite theologians and writers of the day, says this about today. If the Palm Sunday story is about anything, it's about dazzling hopes and disappointed expectations. It's a story about what happens when the God we want and think we know doesn't show up, and another God, less efficient, less aggressive, far less muscular God, shows up instead and saves us in ways we didn't know were possible. We can't possibly imagine what will happen in the coming days and weeks and years. We can't imagine that we will take what Jesus teaches us and with courage and faith, we'll find the strength to rise up and change the world. In this moment, in our opening scenes of Holy Week, all we can say is, help us, O God. You are our only hope. This next week is about getting to know the God who shows up and saves us in ways we didn't know were possible. Take a moment. Breathe that in. We have a God who shows up and saves us in ways we didn't know were possible. Perhaps this week, we think about how is God not living up to our expectations. Perhaps our expectations are too small. What, perhaps, dear friends, do you need to hear Jesus say to you this week? What do you need to remember about Jesus as you hear this amazing story? As we enter into this Holy Week, I invite you to ask the Spirit to reveal to you the saving grace of God's love in your life beyond your own limited knowledge and expectations. Welcome to Holy Week, friends, where we gather together to hear the truth about our God, where we know God's presence is with us, where our cries for help are heard, where our hopes are met, and where all that is unbearable ends in light brighter than we can imagine. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the one who comes to die so that we may live. Amen.